Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
She has farts every morning that either sound like somebody playing the trumpet, like, yes, or a duck, one or the other, or a fucking 87-year-old man, which I find...
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Dr. After Dark. Phone number 818-253-1693 for those voice messages. And, of course, keep the emails coming at drafterdark@gmail.com. We appreciate you all. And, you know, you can send videos our way, too, just like everyone else here at YMH at your mom's house. But today is a very special day. I am delighted to welcome back Brian Redband. Brian, welcome.
Hello, doctor.
This is a big day. Do you guys realize this is a big day? I don't think we've had a second comedian come back, other than Christina. I don't think I've had anybody back, have I? Ooh, Brian's number one.
Oh, love it.
Yes?
I think yeah. He might be, yeah.
No, I think so, too. I mean, Christina and I did it together for a while, and now here you are.
Yeah, this is great.
This is amazing.
And it's so nice here. I love
it. It's crazy, isn't it? Is this your first time to your mom's house studios?
It is. It is. This is, I've been wanting to come here for a while. I live on the exact opposite side of town, so I'm never around this area, but it's so amazing. This is so professional.
So for people, I know, it's kind of weird.
It is.
But for people that don't know, we're in Austin, Texas, and when did you move here?
November of 2020, I was one of the first guys after Rogan to move here.
It's a year, really.
Yeah, yeah. And it was all by coincidence. I filled in for Jamie, who's the producer over at Joe Rogan Experience. He got COVID. And so they were having Kanye West on the show, and they were instead of canceling. So I flew out for 2 weeks. Covered all the shows, and while I was bored, I was just driving around looking at houses, going, you know, just to see how expensive it is. Found a house I fell in love with, bought it that month. And
good for you.
Next thing I know, I'm like, well, I guess I'm moving to Texas.
It's pretty exciting. And before the mics heated up, we were out in the sort of the sitting area here, and we were talking about California, what a shit show it is, and you said.
Yeah, I
don't even think about it.
Yeah, it's easy. And I think a lot of people that live there just kind of over it. It's like, why are we here?
It's just insanity.
Yeah.
So anyway, are you performing tonight with the group?
No, I'm not. No, yeah. I had a show last night. We do a weekly show called Kill Tony. And
I'm aware of Kill Tony.
Yeah, and it's blowing
up. I want to be on Kill
Heck
Tony.
Heck yeah, that would love to have.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I watch it and I worry, you have real comedians. I mean, you need real comedians in those seats to do the judging, right?
Well, not really. I mean, anyone that's, I mean, podcasters, entertainers, or
okay.
anything.
We've had
Danny Brown on it many times.
I'm just saying. But I'm a big fan, so I'd love to be on that.
Oh, definitely, but, yeah. Definitely.
So, in fact, I flew over here with Sam Tripoli.
Oh, you did?
He was literally the seat across the aisle.
No
from
doubt.
Me.
That's crazy.
And I hadn't seen him in years and years and years. And he goes, I'm doing this thing called Kill Tony. I'm like, yes. I'm talking to those guys all day tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. So
that's awesome.
No, he seems doing great. He's got twins now.
Yep,
crazy.
Yep,
so what's going on with you? How's life in Austin? Is it
great, man? I bought a big Texas house, and it's already doubled in value in a year and a half. So that's great.
All the Californians coming in.
Yeah, and I'm just doing the suburban life. I've been actually one good thing about the COVID and all that stuff, it really made me appreciate being home. And and that's something I used to never do. I used to, when I lived in California, every single night I'd be at the Comedy Store, I'd always be out, I'd barely be home except to sleep. And now it's the exact opposite. Now I'm doing yard work and I'm just enjoying it because it's just, It's so relaxing and peaceful.
It's relaxing, and there's something about doing things with your hands.
Yeah, yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
And we've sort of been in zero gravity for a long time.
Exactly.
It's literally getting your feet on the ground, literally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And it feels like, you know, I'm turning 48 this week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And most of my life, I've always lived in apartments. And it's like... You, especially when living in LA, you have like a small apartment and it's not the greatest, and you kind of feel like I haven't become an adult yet, you know? And then now I'm finally like, oh, I'm an adult now. Yeah.
I have a house. You know, a relationship?
I'm still dating the same girl of like 6 years, you know, so and all that.
Can I do anything with that? Or?
Well, I love it because I go, hey, if you want to get married, we can get married. She goes, yeah, I don't, what's the reason? So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm not going to push that.
Brian found the perfect woman, guys.
I think I'll do the Doug Stanhope where he's just like, let's just say we're married. You know, like if you want a ring, we wear a ring. Just tell everyone we're married. You know, I like that.
I'm blanking on his wife's name.
Bingo.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo sent me a beautiful box. I helped her with some stuff.
Was it just dead animal parts and stuff?
No, No. She's funny that way, but yeah. She's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever really talked to her? Yeah, and she sent me this box, and she put a little message on top, and it was a bunch of like veils and things, beautiful scarfs and things. And my daughter fell in love with the whole box. She's like, who sent you this?
Princess box.
Yeah, Bingo sent it to me.
Bingo.
Yeah, yeah. No, they are. I don't know how I feel about those two because I worry about them, but I admire them.
Yeah.
I admire how they live their life.
Well, I guess I don't know if he's still doing it. He quit drinking for a month or something like that.
Good for him.
Or, you know, he's always been my canary in the coal mine, so it kind of worries me when he stops drinking. So
Doug has to stop him. Oh, shit. Yeah, Doug is, they just embrace who they are. I just love that about them. They just are who they are.
Yeah.
And people would think that he even thought I would be judgmental or something of him. If he wants help anytime, I'll be happy to help him. I know how things to do to help. If he doesn't want help, I love him just as much. He had me write the foreword to his book.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you read that book?
Oh, yeah. I think I have a part in that book.
That's right. You're in there.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, it's Fear and Loathing on steroids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Hunter S. Thompson wishes he could have been what Doug Stanhope did. I couldn't believe it. And I also couldn't believe he asked me. I thought I was being punked. I really did. I said, wait, what's your friend Depp doing? Can Johnny Depp write it? Or right. Do you want him to write it? No, I want you to. I was like, okay, I'm delighted to. Thank you. And I meant every word I said in that intro. Like, reader, prepare yourself. Yeah, this is something.
Yeah.
This is amazing. A life lived, man. And I worry that he's going to hurt himself. That's all. I just worry about both of them getting hurt.
Yeah.
That's all.
I mean, last time I saw him, he was he came down to do a show a few times, and he looked great. He looked healthier than ever.
Good. You know, so. Yeah, he has looked good lately. Yeah. Does he live near here?
No, he's still in Bisbee, Arizona and stuff.
Arizona, but, yeah. That's right. I just think of him somewhere out.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, Doug, we've seen you nothing but love, man. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
He is a talent that I don't think could ever be reproduced.
No, it's impossible.
A life that can never be reproduced either. And he, you know, in terms of him stopping drinking, I'm glad he's able to do it on his own if that's how he wants to do it. But because he hates recovery, because his mom used to drag him to meetings when he was a kid. He just hated it. And I totally get that. I get that. That's you get sort of inoculated in a way that it's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And you and tell me more. So you're doing shows. You still
doing shows? And I do Kill Tony, and I also do a comedy show once a week.
Out here.
Yeah, it's something I was doing in Los Angeles, mostly at the Ice House in Pasadena and stuff. And it's just called The Secret Show. And out here, it's great because it's the first time comedy is so huge here that it's called The Secret Show, and I don't even put a lineup. I don't even tell you who's on the show, and it still almost sells out every week, and it's
good
just amazing.
You.
So it's Texas has been really good to me so far, and
I feel like, you know, I've gotten exposed now to the spectrum of the podcast comedy world. Mm-hmm. I was naive to a lot of it. You know, I lived in Corolla's world. I've sort of teamed up with him for a long time, and then now I lived in Christina and Tom's world, and it as a result to being in their world, I got Kill Tony and Skanks and Are You Garbage?
I love those guys.
I love those guys. Yeah. Why didn't I know about that stuff?
I just found out about them.
And I feel like that, but I feel like, although this is, I don't know if it's a golden age, but it's an important age for comedy. Mm-hmm. But the podcasting is a major, major piece of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's because when I was on Skanks the other day, have you been on that show?
Oh, yeah. I've been to every single Skank Fest.
I'm going to the next one.
The Vegas one?
Yeah, I'm planning
I'll be
to go.
There. Yeah,
I'm planning to go. I always wanted to go to the Juggalo gathering, but that seemed a little too dangerous.
Too much. Yeah, I don't want
to. I feel like the Skank Fest will be my. I go to Jason Ellis's thing, Ellis Mania, and that I sing the national anthem at his fighting events there. And you think that's funny. It's what I do. And then Skankfest feels to me like the next level. Like we're going to the next level.
Yeah.
Not quite Juggalo, not quite the gathering, but Skankfest. But I love those guys, and I already knew some of them already. I guess I knew everybody already by the time I'd been on there. But I cannot believe how much weed they smoke and still function at the level they function.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally can't believe it. They are fast and sharp. I had trouble keeping up at first. I was not stoned. Lewis did so many dabs, I didn't know somebody could do that. I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah.
And breathe.
Yeah.
And didn't seem to affect him at all.
Well, that's just because he does it so much, right? Their tolerance is so crazy.
There is tolerance, but even I was thinking that time, I'm sure it's tolerant, but then he had seven more dabs. I'm like, Jesus Christ. At a certain point, you break through the tolerance. Do me a favor, if you guys wouldn't mind, would you put up the Barry Chechnyan, the gay Chechnyan gangster from Barry on the screen here, and you tell me, Brian, if this does not remind you of Mr. Luis Gomez, do you tell me? Because they showed me a video and I was like, oh no, wait a minute. Come on now. Yeah, there he is. Now let's see him as a.
Oh my God.
Right? Right? Am I right?
That's hilarious. I mean, if Lewis didn't have eyebrows, I guess.
Right. It's just the eyebrows. That's the only difference. He's had what's called alopecia totalis, right? And so he's lost all his hair. Lewis just lost the stuff on top of it, but they look exactly the same.
Wow.
And they have the same mannerisms, and they hold their head the same way. It's very disturbing. So there you go. I think Lewis is playing a gay Chechnyan gangster on Barry. I think that's what's happening. He just shaves his eyebrows. Look at that. Look at this piece.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
So if you see him again, please mention.
Oh, I'm going
it
to.
Seemed to bother him that I brought this up.
He didn't like it. It's the no eyebrow thing. I think
it bothered him,
out.
And I felt bad afterwards. I thought, I really don't want him to feel bad. This guy's name is Anthony Carrigan, the actor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want him to feel bad about it. It kind of was a compliment. I'm a huge fan of this actor and the character he plays. I'm not kidding. I'm a fan of Lewis's.
Yeah, you're like, hey, man, you look like this guy with alopecia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I'm a big fan of his.
But Lewis knows he doesn't have hair, right? Is it a mystery to Lewis?
I mean, but that's the only similarity here.
Bullshit. Put him up side by side. I swear to God, you'll be shocked. Oh, please. Now, I think he didn't like the gay comparison. I think that bothered him. I do. Look, any of those pictures. Look down. Go. Yeah, look. Look at the one, the fourth one in. The fourth one in. 1, 2, 3, 4. You see that picture? Yeah. Put that up. And you tell me that doesn't look like that guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty. Come on. I see. I think it's exactly the same.
Exactly the
Maybe
same.
Maybe Lewis
dude.
Looks is a little bit gayer than this guy, but.
If that's what bothers him, then that's where you're going.
Well, you call me gay?
Right? I mean, come on,
that's
guys.
Funny.
Seriously. It's the same dude, just with eyebrows.
No, yeah, they definitely both don't have hair.
No, come on. All right. Anyway, let's get on with the show. Let's do some voice messages. Mm. Let's get something. Brian, you're going to help people.
Great.
Right? Ready? Everything good with you otherwise? Anything
absolutely
else?
Great. Yeah.
You and are you still producing Rogan's thing?
I still work for Rogan. I'm more of like just in case of emergencies kind of guy.
Weren't you going on the road with him a lot?
I was back in the day. Yeah. Back in the day.
And now you just do it yourself. And you do it Kill Tony and everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. We'll do some voice messages. Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, some about some Browns.
Oh, well, lovely.
Hey, Hitler. I was just wondering about the girl from Poltergeist who died from a bowel obstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if that could happen to me. Could I just, fail to shit enough to where I have this happen to me? I've not shit enough to where I've worried about it, but this is something that's fucking edging on my conscience. Drew, could you just solve this for me? Could I just not shit enough to get a bowel obstruction?
I get it.
And then die like this girl from Poltergeist? Thank you, Drew. I would love to hear from you. Piss on me, beat me. And you know I'm coming up in May.
Okay. So was that a male or a female?
It sounded like the guys in the booth slowed down his voice by like 25%.
Slowed it up, like they're messing with the speed of his voice. Yeah. I think it's a he, right? We agree. Do we have to ask people for their pronouns on this show now? Is that really where we're going?
No,
okay,
we don't.
Thank you. That's not part of the rational evolution. Mm-hmm. So we'll say it's he for the sake of convention. And I do think these guys fucked with the speed.
Yeah, definitely. Really. Or just the most annoying person in the world.
Well, or the drunkest person in the world. So, do you have any advice for him before I launch my thing?
Well, I mean, I'm the worst person to ask about this because I think I poop more than a Chinese phone book. I think the older I get, I don't know if I'm just starting to get allergic to dairy or gluten, but I have no problems. I wake up and...
But you said you had diarrhea.
I have diarrhea a lot.
We're going to the Bristol stool chart.
Yeah, I have number seven at
He's
least
number seven.
Once a day.
Fatty, greasy stool. Not fatty, greasy diarrhea. It's not even porridge, like number six.
Oh, is that what six is?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's more like a six then.
Okay.
I'm more of a six.
It's not the water fatty, greasy stuff.
Right.
Okay. Well, six is a little bit abnormal.
But I drink. I always wrote it off like I'm getting older and I drink. So it must be from the drinking.
Alcohol does do it.
I think it's the alcohol.
Alcohol withdrawal, we used to always say, was the shits, the shakes, and the fits. The shits and the shakes.
Yeah.
And it does irritate the gastrointestinal system and moves things through more quickly.
I get really bad. I need to go to a gastro or whatever because I do have really bad acid reflux. I've always had bad acid reflux, but I've noticed it hasn't happened recently, but I've had one of the most scariest things ever happen to me at least four times. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where... I think the acid reflux gets in my lungs and I wake up and I can't breathe.
It does do that.
It
does do that. That actually is dangerous.
It's one of the scariest things that ever happened to me.
You can aspirate it and that's how much it's going up into your throat.
Yeah.
And I like the way it's the scariest thing that's ever happened in your whole life.
Yeah,
four times.
Yeah, four times.
One time wasn't enough for you to see the gastroenterologist. Mm-hmm. Have to have it four or five times.
Right.
So something going on here. The bigger issue is the aspiration, the effects on the vocal cords, the effect on your airways, but more importantly, it increases the risk of esophageal cancer, especially when you drink. Do you smoke too?
Yeah.
Okay, if you drink and smoke and get reflux, and if you have HPV, like if you have a lot of...
I don't have HPV.
Well,
what is it?
Human papillomavirus. Did you get the vaccine for that?
No.
Well,
I probably have it then.
Well, if you... ate a lot of pussy.
Well, I'm fucked.
There.
Especially, like, I don't know why the guys are laughing at me.
It's a combo. A lot more HPV in men now because of that, and in the mouth because in the throat. And so if you drink, you smoke, and you have reflux, that's not a good combo. You need to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
And so there are things they can do to help you with that for sure. Then you said you're 48. You're right in there on 50, and 50 is when the colonoscopies start.
Yeah.
And so I'd move that up a couple of years just because you have such unusual bowel habits.
Yeah.
And
I've had one before, and I think last time I was here we talked about that.
You did it?
Yeah, this was maybe 7 years ago I got one.
Wait a minute. We talked about you having had it 7 years ago.
Because I had internal hemorrhoid, and they did the rubber band litigation or whatever it's called.
Do you remember how fun that was?
And then I stopped.
Guys know what they're talking about? Ligation? Hemorrhoid ligation?
I have heard of this procedure.
You don't want to show us a little picture of that?
No. I have one on my phone. It's on my wallpaper.
Hemorrhoid ligation.
Yeah. One of the worst pains I've ever had in my life.
It is. That's the way the patients describe it. I always kind of discourage them from getting.
Yeah.
Supposedly they've gotten, I think I told you this, they've gotten better where it doesn't hurt so much now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what they're
doing. Yeah, I was supposed to go back like twice. And
why don't we see a video of it, see if we can actually see the real thing.
Oh,
no. Okay. Gosh.
You never went back at all?
No, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to live with this.
I probably thought that was kind of extraordinary that you didn't follow up on this until I met Josh Potter.
Oh, gosh.
And then I was like, okay, I guess I don't understand how the real world works.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Now I just consider it, I have a holiday once in a while, a little bloody holiday.
Oh, you still get some bleeding.
Yeah, once in a while. Very rare. Mm-hmm. But when it happens, it's like, oh, Lord. Yeah.
And... let's get another voice message in here. Let's see if we can get off the poop or to a different poop setting, different poop topic. Oh, wait, I didn't answer his question. Let me answer his question. So as you see, my friend, you do not get bowel obstruction from colon filling up with stool. I present you case A, Mr. Enny. He has not pooped in 3 weeks. He doesn't get bowel obstruction. You don't get bowel obstructions from things accumulating in your colon. You get something called toxic megacolon, and you can get decreased motility of the colon, which can give you trouble years later where things don't move through your bowels normally, but that is not an obstruction. I mean, that's kind of a different thing. When we say a bowel obstruction, we're talking about a small bowel obstruction, and those are sometimes just unlucky. You just get something that plugs in. More often than not, it's a adhesive band from a previous surgery, like an appendectomy or a pelvic or something else where they got in there and it caused some scarring, and then the small bowel gets tied up around it, obstruct. And it is kind of hard in today's world to die of a small bowel obstruction, because when people come in with that kind of belly pain and they have even a hint of a surgical abdomen, they get a CAT scan and you go right to surgery. So I don't know what the woman did from Poltergeist. Do you know this story?
No, I don't even know.
She must have sat home and not come to the medical attention. I mean, that is really unusual to die from a small bowel obstruction. Now, if it goes too far, the bowel dies and then you get septic. And if you then come to the hospital, it can be tough to retrieve you. It can be tough to bring things back. So now let's do a voice message, a happy voice message, a happy brown message.
Yeah, we were just sitting around with my homies, and we were wondering. My farts smell like shit all the time. Mm-hmm. His farts smell like shit some of the time. And then I got a friend here. His farts smell like shit maybe 10% of the time.
Yeah.
Is the smell of your farts genetic, or can you change this by what you eat? Let me know. Hey, touch my camera through the fence, motherfucker. Mm.
So, advice?
Well, that seems like this dude just needs to shit more, and the other guys shit more.
That's the way my wife thinks about this. Yeah. But it turns out that's not true. Wow. He's right. It's both genetic and diet. Mm. And it is what bacteria live in there and split the protein into these methane molecules that cause the gas. Some people have almost none of that. And some people have only that. Mm-hmm. And they will have bad smelling farts no matter what. The idea is to try to give the bacteria less to work on. And by the way, because everybody has their own different bacterial mix, what that is different for different people. For some people, it can be spices. For some people, it could be fruit. It's different things. You're laughing at the spices. Is that
I think it's also, you know, something to do with your DNA too, because like my dad's farts and my farts are pretty much the same.
Yes.
I mean, it makes me remember my dad every time.
You know what?
Father's Day, I'm like whiffing it up.
I have a similar experience. I hadn't thought about that, but I remember younger thinking that. And thank you for giving me a chance to visit with my dad. I appreciate that. Although I have adjusted my diet in such a way that is less of a common occurrence. But the genetics are what determine the bacterial mix. Mm. So genes, yes, do are ultimately the source here. Oh, we're learning so much today. So keep going. Let's see what you got.
Hey, Dr. Drew, Nadav, Annie, everybody. My name is Shauna. I'm from Colorado. And I have a question about brown. So if Annie wants to leave the room. My question is, how come sometimes when I doo-doo, I could wipe and wipe and wipe forever, and it still comes back with doo-doo on it, forcing me to have to take a shower? Ooh. Would love to know so I could, you know, not be a hyper wiper and, you know, irritate my butthole. So if you could let me know what I can do about that. Thanks, guys.
So, advice? Brian?
Well, one, get a bidet. I mean, they're very
there
cheap.
You go.
I don't understand why. I don't
Not even a bidet. You can have the magic toilet seats
that,
now.
Yeah, you get them on Amazon or whatever. Yes. It's like $40. It's crazy that you have no excuse. And two, stop drinking so much, I don't know, oil or whatever she's drinking.
I just like that Brian thinks it's crazy if you don't have your asshole squirted every day. Nadav agrees with you. Nadav thinks it's crazy.
That was the perfect answer. It's just like, there's stuff in there you can't get in, but a jet stream will get it right.
Now, let's be clear. What she's doing is digging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And as you get older, you guys think that's funny? No?
No, just self-loathing in here.
Okay, good. She's digging. And as you get older, the anal ring becomes more patchless. Mm. So it's a little more, you can dig more easily. And when you're younger, it just stays tightly closed.
Right.
You're not even thinking about it. Everything's up inside.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if she's on any medication that's making that more so, because that happens a lot. And the answer is still the same. Mm-hmm. Is get the bidet.
Yeah, get the bidet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Here's a microdosing question. Hey, Hitler, Booth Boys, heard you talk about having no significant research on microdosing shrooms. I microdose twice a week just because I think it's helping with anxiety. and overthinking. Is this just a placebo effect? Am I doing damage? Help me out. And I will say the same thing. We just don't know. There's no doubt that it will be useful. There's no doubt. What we don't know is how much, how long, how frequently, and what the risks are. We have no idea. Do you have anybody saying anything different?
My, I've done mushrooms my whole life, but my girlfriend, she does microdosing, and she does the whole thing.
Psilocybin.
Yeah, and she does the grinding. She puts them in the little capsules and everything like that. And
how, every day or twice a week?
I think she does it every day.
Yeah.
But she had an experience the other day, though, where it was too much, even though it's the same every day. And she was tripping her balls off. And
yeah, it accumulates.
Yeah, yeah.
It accumulates.
So,
and we have, there's no data to know what to do. They're doing it. They're collecting the data. And I have no doubt it's going to be useful. But don't get ahead of the science, you guys. It's just dangerous. We just don't know. I've seen nasty shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen bad things happen.
Yeah.
And
plus, you got to worry about things that people aren't even thinking of, like mold on the mushrooms that grow, and then you're ingesting mold sometimes if it's a wet mushroom.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Vaping. I heard I'm a respiratory therapist, and aren't vapes filled with oil? No, one vape was, and it caused a horrible ARDS syndrome in these people. Oh, yeah, good for you. You're vaping. So you don't smoke anymore. You don't smoke cigarettes.
I do. Well, I do both.
Stay with the vapes.
Yeah, I do mostly vapes.
I've heard they fill it with oil. How is inhaling oil healthy? We just get the bills, the oils, and it lungs me pneumonia. No, there was one bootleg cannabis thing that had oil that caused ARDS. It was terrible. Vaping done properly, yeah, there's some stuff in there. There's some chemicals and things that are not great for you, but not nearly as bad as tobacco. Nowhere near as bad as tobacco. And when you look at things that are head-to-head studies on what helps people stop using tobacco, vaping always ranks amongst the highest, always. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how we can have this, why this isn't being pushed more aggressively for people.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. The idea is that young people are getting onto it, and then that increases the risk of tobacco later. Okay, let's work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not give it to people who need to get off tobacco.
Right.
It's just so weird. Again, this is more centralized bullshit thinking in medicine. It just think of all the bullshit that came out during COVID. This is another kind of bullshit thing from people that are making centralized decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And you respiratory therapist, think about this. How many COPD patients have you seen from vaping? How many pneumonias have you seen from vaping? A lot of people vape. A lot. More than you even know.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, tell you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Talking about.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you just get more tobacco, more nicotine in the vape?
I mean, I like it. The problem is that even as much as it's nice and it's getting better, there's something about a cigarette that you can't replicate, at least yet. It's just, I don't know. It's a little different.
It is a little different.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, I'm thinking if you up the nicotine dose, you might be better off. You might be less likely to go to reach for a cigarette.
Yeah.
You can adjust all that with the vaping.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, these disposable ones, you really can't. I think they have a limit to what you can do. But the ones you can buy and fill up yourself and do all that. But they're cutting down on that or getting more regulated for that, too.
I know. I don't mind the regulation. What I mind is the elimination.
Yeah.
So, all right. You were on an episode with Luis Gomez on Skanks. You said Adderall was no good. I've been on Adderall since I was 8.
Jeez.
I don't know the side effects of it. I want to get rid of it. But every time I stop taking them, nothing is important to me. Oh, boy. I just sit and my brain feels numb and fuzzy. Oh, shit.
Oof.
Nothing gets done. Everything goes to shit. What do you think I should do? Okay. So Adderall does... look, I didn't say it did nothing. I said it's no good for people to abuse Adderall, and I have grave concerns about adults taking Adderall. Mm. I think for adolescents and children to take Adderall, there is good data. When I first started thinking back 15 years ago, or maybe even 20 years ago... I announced that there would never be an amphetamine epidemic so long as there was cheap cocaine. Because it didn't make sense to me why people would do meth. And then all of a sudden meth came. And I thought, well, of course, it must be all the Adderall we're prescribing. And so I kept an eye on that literature very carefully because I thought I was going to prove that, oral prescribing in adolescence was causing amphetamine addiction. Turns out it's the opposite. You're less likely to use amphetamines if you take these medicines in adolescence. If you take them in adulthood, it flips.
Oh, yeah. The adults are crushing it up and snorting the Adderall.
It's a whole different thing. Yeah, it's a different thing. But in childhood, it also has some therapeutic value and development. A lot of things look good for it in childhood and adolescence, so I'm not assailing it there. I'm assailing it using it for testing, where it's actually cheating when you do that. I'm sailing using it recreationally. I'm sailing even therapeutically an adult. It worries me now. Look at this. I mean, here's a woman, I assume this is an adult now, who can't get off it without having amphetamine withdrawal.
Yeah, jeez, that's ridiculous. I don't like the Adderall. I tried it like once or twice, and I did it right before I went on stage, and I felt like I was on cocaine. Like, it just brought back the cocaine. I'm like,
it's amphetamine. Yeah. Do you know what the name of the generic drug is?
No.
Dextroamphetamine.
Oh,
and it's actually it's a mix of amphetamine and dextroamphetamine.
Wow.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Why are we surprised that people have a problem with this in adulthood? Oh, my God. Recently off SSRI, now coming too fast.
I'm a professional at this. So.
It coming too fast?
Yeah.
Any advice for this man? We'll talk about how it happened, but any advice to slow things down?
Yeah, just put your finger on the end of it. No,
guys are always wanting to unload more and further. Maybe you could just like a hose.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Put a mint oil in there.
Oof. A mint. I hope you guys caught that. That was actually very funny. So, well, anything?
No, I mean, I've always come fast, but now it's mostly because I
have your prostate out.
Huh?
I had my prostate taken out for prostate cancer.
Yeah. Oh,
whole problem goes away.
Oh, well.
that problem is no longer an issue.
No, but I think I've actually gotten faster because now, you know, I live with my girlfriend and she works from home and stuff like that. So it's more like, she's going to get the mail. Okay, I got 1 minute.
I like the way the orgasm is a function of something you do away from your girlfriend, not with her. That's funny. All right, 38-year-old man had recently gotten off 20 milligrams of SSRI. I'm assuming that's Prozac. That's the common 20 milligram one. Might have been Lexapro. I started taking it 15 years ago for anxiety. That's not really what it's for, but okay. They did the trick, got me in a good place. No more panic attacks. Okay, it will help with the panic attacks. Maybe this was Celexa he was on. I'm living the fucking dream. Got out of my parents' house. I'm boss man at work. I found a big-titted Asian mammal that I want to spend the rest of my life with. What? Shooting hot loads in. He has sex with his girlfriend. Oh. It's different than your thing, which you do between seeing your girlfriend.
Some of the show references kind of blur the lines.
Okay, yeah.
The only problem is now I'm spraying ropes too quick. I've lost all control. I was never a porn star, but I used to last a good 10, 15 minutes. I've never felt better since being off the meds, but I feel like half the amount I used to be in the sack. I just go back on the meds. Are my balls too full of cum? So this is something men have some sort of weird, I hope I'm not putting you in a bad light here, but men have this bizarre belief that there's cum in their balls.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Good, thank you. You better believe I'm coming up in May. All right, cum comes from the prostate. If you don't have a prostate, you don't have ejaculate. There you go, period.
You call your balls the prostate?
No, that's different. So I have what my old Loveline partner used to say, I have ghost loads. I don't have...
Ghost loads?
I don't have fluid.
Ah.
I have no prostate, and so there's no fluid produced. Right. Yeah, nothing else changes, just no mess.
So
no
just air comes out? Or
Sometimes a ghost. Woo! No. So, but nothing. No powder. No nothing.
So you like queef, kind of like that's your little.
Not
queef.
Even a sound. Nothing. Yes, but it's well. Maybe I make a sound. But the
does it feel like you're coming though?
Yeah, same exact. Experience.
Why don't we all get this?
Right, it's no mess.
Especially here in Texas, man.
No muss, no fuss. And think about it when you're trying to. Right. And think when you're trying to ejaculate between visiting with your girlfriend, you never know what happened.
Right.
No tissues or anything accumulating.
That's awesome.
So anyway, this does happen. It's not that you're too fast, it's that you were always too fast. And that it's unusual. In fact, what more often happens, the more dreaded complication of these SSRIs, and this is a very problematic complication. It doesn't hit a lot of people, but it hits enough that there's actually an army of them out there like trying to be heard. Because doctors, you know, prescribe this stuff without warning patients that it can happen. They have shutdown in their sexual response. They have no libido. They have difficulty having satisfying orgasm. That's very common from SSRIs. And somewhere around maybe 5% of the time, that's permanent.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's terrible. And in this gentleman's case, it took the sort of the premature ejaculation away and put him more in control of what he had. But now just put him back towards his baseline. It's unusual to go from, you know, sort of normal to premature just by coming off an SSRI. Mm-hmm. So you could take an SSRI to control your premature ejaculation.
Oh, really?
In fact, people at one point were prescribing it for that. I don't think they would do that anymore, but they, for a long while that was being advocated. And so no tricks for this guy?
I mean, I'm really different when it comes to that. I've always like had it, what's always worked for me is the exact opposite of what works for everybody else. I've always been somebody that if I get really, really drunk, I can last an hour and a half, well, 2 hours.
People report that.
Yeah, like I'm the opposite of whiskey dick.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just like amazing to me.
You have a whiskey dick. It's just not a limp whiskey dick.
Right, right. Exactly. But that's always helped me. Like if I knew I was going to get laid with a girl that night, I'd make sure I drink more just because so I could last longer. So I don't know if that's good advice for anybody.
I mean, it's not what you call healthy advice, yeah. But it's advice. And there are putting a condom on sometimes slows people down, numbing creams, numbing sort of wipes and things that are out there. There's all sprays, all kinds of things out there that do help.
Yeah.
They do help, but it doesn't take you from 2 minutes to 15 minutes.
Right.
You have to really kind of work on that one with your partner.
Yeah, maybe have her not wipe her ass before you have sex so you're disgusted the whole time.
Yeah, sort of cut the line on the bidet. You know?
Yeah.
Feed her. We've reviewed all the things that could help this guy so far in this show. Make sure the diet is full of food that gives her a terrible gas.
Yep.
Make sure she doesn't have a bidet. So, yeah, all the solutions have been hidden in all the things we've been helping with so far. Mm-hmm. Timing, you know, right? Like, maybe unload something from the chamber.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Before it happens. That's always nice.
Clear the pipes, clear them a second time if you need to. Mm-hmm. If it's really bothersome to your girlfriend, you know, you can come first or whatever, you kind of work it out together.
Yeah. Put a little Bengay on there maybe.
Ooh, that's interesting. Interesting. Yeah, don't go work out with Brian and leave your underwear in the gym when he's there.
Speaking of, I got something funny. Just maybe like 10 years ago, I was at the grocery store and I saw this 2-pack of massage oil. Like when it was called hot and cold. Like it was like there was a cold one for like a cold massage and a hot one for a hot massage. And I thought, oh, you know, this is like oil, so we could use it for sex. So I remember I poured a bunch of it on the girl's vagina, and it was the hot one, and we started fucking, and then she's like, oh, my God, what is going on? Like, it was the worst day of my life.
Oh.
Again.
Wow.
But, yeah.
So you did it three more times.
But, yeah, I had no idea. I thought, I don't know why. This is how dumb I was. I just thought, oh, it'd feel hot, you know?
How old were you?
This was like only like 13 years ago, maybe.
I was going to say, it was 6 months ago. But it is, to me, that sounds, you know, young men are always scheming up stuff, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, 48, 50 is worth, it's worth pointing out again that that's the age where you got to start doing the really serious screening stuff.
Yeah.
PSA, prostate cancer, colon screening, for your sake, the upper endoscopy, that kind of stuff.
Wait, how old do you have to, like, one thing I don't think I'll ever get done, though, is the thing where they put the thing in your dick hole. Like, I don't want to ever do
a cystoscopy?
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll never need that.
Okay. That's not something you're like, well, when you're 50, you have to
I mean, if the people that need that, you're really looking for bladder cancer.
Okay.
And that typically happens in much older men.
Okay.
Like, so you got unexplained hematuria, blood in the bladder. Right. You can't find another explanation. Then we got to go up there and look. And
right.
It's not as bad as you think. It isn't. It's not.
So you've had it.
I had one.
Oh, wow.
And it was.
Were you awake for it?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
And get this. I had it before they had the fiber optic.
Oh,
they only had the rigid scope.
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to say this. Yeah. To put a
and I don't know why they did to me. I was very young. And I was having sort of dribbling or something. And I was lifting weights at the time. They should have just gone, if you're lifting 300 pounds, what do you expect? You're going to dribble a little
bit. Wow.
Instead, well, you need a cystoscopy. And it was not, and even with the rigid scope, it was not that bad. In fact, what was bad is I remember, I had no idea what was going on. It was like I was a first year medical student. What I remember was bad was afterwards, get extreme irritation of the urethra. So peeing hurts like a motherfucker. That part I didn't like.
Were you screaming or were you going, oh, daddy, or anything like that?
Oh, God. These are prouder moments for me, you know? They are. When do I get to kill Tony with you again?
When very, very soon. Very
because
soon.
Because if this is sort of a version of how I'm going to feel, I'm ready. These are proud moments for me, I tell you. All right, another voicemail. We have a voice message out there.
Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Drew. My name is Pastor. I'm calling from Brisbane, Australia. I was wondering if I can get a question answered about my shits.
Of course.
So, when I was a bit younger, my shits were quite good. Like, I would have them regularly in the morning and, I don't know, possibly one in the afternoon or evening. But now I'm finding they're very irregular. And my main kind of, my main thing is that I never have them as soon as I wake up in the morning. And that's how I definitely used to have them. When I wake up in the morning, I would brush my teeth and then have a shit. There'll be...
and my day was complete.
Definitely something that would happen.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you can help me with that. How do I shit in the morning as soon as I wake up?
Okay.
Thanks, Frank. Bye.
Okay. All right. First of all, doesn't everything sound either happy or fun with an Australian accent?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Or funny. Mm-hmm. Funny, happy, something. I mean, they could be talking about the most serious stuff in the world. Mm-hmm. And yet with a British accent, it sounds dignified and,
right.
and smart.
Yeah, exactly.
But Australian sounds fun / funny. Mm-hmm. But okay. There is nothing special about having a shit every morning. People don't know any. Case one, right? Any shits once a month.
What?
You don't know this?
No. That's not good, right?
What's up, bro?
You shit once a month?
Yeah. I mean, no.
Twice a month.
It's more like twice a month.
That cannot be good, right?
Well...
That's a lot of poop in you.
Yeah, but it's outside his body. It's in the colon. The colon is a tube that is outside your body.
Right, but...
Right. And it's not great for the motility of the colon, so I worry years down the line he might have some trouble, but I don't know. I don't know necessarily. He seems to have no trouble. The odder thing is about how he does all this.
He cries?
He does cry a little bit. Really, it's actually baby Jesus that cries when you see what he does. He sits on the edge of the toilet bowl and squats like a gargoyle.
Oh, well, I guess he can't sit on it because it's so much shit that he'll just like lift
up
or something.
There's that. He might touch the shit.
Right.
Or he might splash the shit, but he has a fetish, a fear of a hand coming out of the
drain
and getting him.
It's fake news. He's constantly spreading this fake news.
So anyway, the point is, these gentlemen have enlightened me to a few things. Mm. Turns out that's not all that unusual internationally to squat like that when you have your shit, even
right.
on the toilet.
Right.
And I thought it was extraordinary. I thought I had an extraordinary man on my hands here.
I'm just a piece of shit.
Not a piece of shit.
That's
just
insane.
more ordinary man of international mystery. That's all. So
that is insane, though. Like I would hate that. I like shitting.
Well, you have diarrhea, though. Why don't we
get
this right?
Well, I shit 4 or 5 times a day, maybe.
Oh, Jesus.
More.
I told him last time we did the show, one time I weighed it and it was like 6 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't want to do that every
day. No, that's crazy.
I'm impressed. I think it's an extraordinary skill set. Mm. But back to our Australian friend. I can get you to where you could shit every morning. What you need to do is take some bulk, meaning like Citracel, psyllium husk, Metamucil tablets, morning and evening. You have to adjust the dose for you to make sure you don't get diarrhea. So be careful. You can take too much. And there is a medicine called Ducalax you can take the night before that will give you a shit in the morning. Now, again, all this stuff might make things a little too loose. You have to kind of adjust how frequently and how much you do of this stuff. But between the bulk and the Ducalax, you will have a shit every morning. You can just start with the Ducalax. Just start with the bulk. Try to get that dose right. And then if you really still are not having in the morning, if you take a Ducalax in the evening, you will have a shit in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. You know. But you could use a little more bulk, too.
Yeah. Gives
you, the bulk works both ways. Bulk loosens and form and gives you more form. Uh-oh. Something profound is about to come out of my mouth.
I just can't get over this. He shits twice a month. Like, if you put, like, a little piece of potato, if you eat some potatoes, does it, like, grow, like, fucking, like, shits out with, like, you know, stems? Like,
no,
it starts growing?
No, doesn't grow. But remember how Fernando Valenzuela used to throw a pitch? So give me a picture of that. Remember he used to throw a pitch? His windup? Just show me a little picture of Fernando Valenzuela pitching.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why I'm going to this. It's a very obscure observation, but it's very similar. There he is. All right. He had quite a stretch and a windup, and he put his leg way up in the air.
So, I see. Yeah.
Right. That's how you are when you're winding up for something to say something that's either problematic or very funny.
Well,
there's a whole windup. I'm like, oh, here comes something. Brian's in Fernando's windup.
But he seems very skinny from here. Like, you would think, like, that much poop in him, like, you would have, like, this huge beer belly type situation.
About, now we're talking about Ennie again. Yeah. he's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Mm. He's an extraordinary human being, and he wills all kinds of things. He eats nothing but pizza.
Every day, man.
That's what you call genetically superior. That's all you're looking at. And Tom worries about him.
Yeah. I think I'm just more upset because he's missing out on all that fun and stuff. You know,
of shitting every
day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sad.
Yeah, you know, I had...
And I feel like if he did shit all the time, he wouldn't have the same voice. He'd be like, hi, guys! You know, like, that's what makes him have this...
So he'd be gay? If he didn't shit all the time? I never thought so much about shit and farts, but when I came on your mom's house, I had to start paying attention to it because it is a full-time preoccupation here for everybody, absolutely. It seems like. And I mentioned on a recent show that I had to have some radiation and stuff for the prostate cancer, so I have diverticulitis. And so I have to worry about my rectal pressures because if I don't get things just right, I get an attack of diverticulitis. Mm. So I've personally become more aware of some of the stuff as well, of being preoccupied by the your mom's house world of it. But it's not something I enjoy. It's not something I had spent time doing before my tenure here.
Right.
I'm kind of extraordinary. I know that as young man, you know, when I was hanging out and playing sports and things, there's a lot of fart humor and talk and a lot of shitting, you know, farting on each other and that kind of thing. But that was just aggression. I'm just being shitty to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But all right, now it's an art.
Do you fart around your girlfriend? Like, do your wife? I mean, do you like have fart offs and stuff?
No. Okay. Here comes the make note of this. We got to get Susan in here to have this conversation because this is.
Oh, I think I know what you're about to say.
What am I going to say?
Trumpet farts.
Well, I'm going to say something a little more interesting about it. So she has been, she comes on the show once in a while, and we are very honest about everything that happens to us, sexually and physically and every other way. And she has farts every morning that either sound like somebody playing the trumpet, like, yes, or a duck, one or the other, or a fucking 87-year-old man, which I find hysterical. I just think here's this perfect specimen, and she gets allergies, which I think is hysterical.
Yeah,
and this comes out of her ass every morning. Wow. It makes my day.
That's hilarious.
Every day, I am not granted such a privilege.
Right.
She does not find anything I produce funny or interesting or anything. Just hold that all back around her. In fact, when we stay in a hotel, I must visit one of the public restrooms when I need to evacuate.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This is not something that she can... Oh. It's not good for our relationship, let's say. Now, she has a certain amount of discomfort producing all that greatness in the morning for me, and yet she still resists it, and yet it brings me such joy.
Yeah.
It was time.
Well, that's every weird time. You can't just bring like a Bluetooth speaker and go to the bathroom, you know, and like she doesn't like you making noises around.
No, it's not the noise. It's really, I think it's the it's smell. Everything. It's okay. Everything. It's smell, all yeah. No. Yeah. And so, yeah, the noises probably wouldn't be so bad if there wasn't a bunch of stuff came with it.
Right.
For her, there's no smell. There's no whatever. The noises are just so ironic, so hysterical. Mm-hmm. So to see a beautiful woman produce the sound of an 87-year-old grandmother is fantastic. It's something fantastic about it.
That's hilarious.
And so that's my morning joy. That's where I get my pleasure every day.
That's great.
Speaking of pleasure, could I see some clips, horrible or hilarious?
Of course you can, Drew. Gosh. So here, Brian, tell me if you think that this is horrible.
Jeez, I hate this.
Or if you think it's hilarious.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Stop, man. Stop.
Okay, that's hilarious. That was nearly horrible, but that was hilarious.
I thought he was going to, like, break some legs or arms or something.
He had dislocated or broken his leg. Yeah. For sure. But he's up and he's walking, so it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's good.
He's looking like he's got maybe a back problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he's not going to feel good, right. But it was hilarious. Look, Brian and I have the same sensibility. I can tell already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to see like any stuff.
No.
All right, then you guys are going to love this next one.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. Uh-oh.
So that guy is robbing that lady, right?
Okay.
Stealing her purse.
And the car pulls up alongside and stops.
Gets it. Is running away.
Okay.
Oh!
Woo! Somebody,
That's weird because normally I would say that's awful and horrible, but because he's like, you know, the one that just robbed her, then
some
I think
old
it's
lady.
Kind of great.
But it's kind of great, but the problem is, well, this is clearly some other country, right? We don't have trucks like that here, do we?
It does seem a little weird.
But in this country, the guy driving the truck that saved the day would get prosecuted.
Yeah.
Because it would have been excessive force, or you'd have to kill the guy just because he stole a purse.
Right.
So it's sort of weirdly horrible.
Yeah, I don't think he's dead, though. Do you think he's dead?
Let's see it again. He hit his head very hard.
Maybe he's just knocked out.
No, but that's really brain injury time. That kind of head injury. Watch his head hit that second. After he's struck by the car, he hits a wall. Boom. That's the part that is bad.
Yeah.
So that's a skull fracture, at least. Cerebral contusion, and people don't recover very well from those. But he will not be doing any more stealing.
That's that instant karma, though, that I love. Did you see that concert in Hong Kong where one of the things fell on one of the dancers?
No.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then there's like three different camera angles. And at first you see it, you're like, oh, my God, that's awful. But then you see another camera angle where it looks like the guy just crushes his head. I don't even know how he's still alive. That's horrible. That was horrible.
Yeah, Tom sent that to me the other night to upset me.
Are we going to see it?
I mean, I don't have it on.
If you just type in Hong Kong dancer.
All right, yeah, let me see if I can find it for you guys.
It's brutal. Like,
So you mean you first look at it and think it's brutal and then you see another camera angle?
First you're like, oh shit, that's horrible. And then you see it, I'm like, it's like Faces of Death when you see another camera angle of it, because but the guy's alive, which I don't get.
Oh,
yeah.
Let me see if I can figure that out.
Yeah.
Is he alive? Oh, it's a screen.
Yeah, it's one of those big, giant...
Jumbotron kind of thing?
Yeah.
One dancer critically hurt, but you hear he's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in critical still. But,
oh, well, that's not good. No. There's alive, and then there's... You don't want to be alive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that kind of head injury. Sometimes you don't want to be alive after.
If you copy and paste the thing in YouTube, I found it the other day, and there's one. There's a couple of them, but there's one that has like all the camera angles, like a mega mix, like Hong Kong dancer screen fall. I don't know.
What does the Dove watch on YouTube? Look at all that
shit. Yeah, there we go.
That's a lot.
Maybe that third one down. Maybe that one. So watch the screen on the top left.
Top left.
Yeah, I believe.
It's a huge screen. Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
gosh.
Boom.
Cuts the guy in half, it looks like.
And then watch. They'll show this other one, which I think is this one, where...
In slow motion?
I mean, it's just...
Here it is. This is the bad one.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. God. That's terrible.
Now, that's horrible.
That's horrible. Yeah, you know, it is as always in this category of horrible, hilarious. We're not seeing people. Well, we have. We've seen people caught in a lathe and shit like that, which is obviously horrible. But really, what distinguishes horrible from hilarious is the amount of head injury.
Yeah,
the degree of the head injury. And that
I think
was
I read
horrible.
That guy was paralyzed.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Pretty That's funny.
That's not funny.
What is wrong with people here at your mom's house?
I don't know.
What
is that? They're disturbed, man.
Tom has infected everybody, right? He's the problem, isn't it? He thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, it's a defense mechanism, I think. Because if you say it's horrible, Tom's just going to send you more.
But I feel like Tom is this very caring, reasonable, smart guy with this other guy that lives inside of him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know what that is. He's you know, it must be an infection. It infected him, and now he's like, infected everybody in this building. Mm-hmm. And Brian, be careful.
Yeah.
You're spending a little time here. All right. Is there a toeless brown Walmart? This is something that I saw on a previous show, and it caught my attention. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I think...
toeless? What does that mean?
I think you're about to tell us what it means.
And when you say brown, I'm guessing we're back to that toeless. Topic again.
Oh, no. No.
It's not... Somebody had part of their foot taken off.
You pooping?
I love that.
Hello. cooking. It smells good.
Oh, wow.
Don't let the audio distract you.
Wow. Now, is that the lady with no foot talking, or is that the lady? I think
that's a sound. That's a sound that somebody put on top of this, because I've seen this before.
Okay.
So I think this is just
okay. A duet, good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. That feels better.
There's
multiple things going on in that foot. That is probably a diabetic who had diabetic infections in her feet with bone infection and had to have that all excised, taken off. Amputated. So the anterior portion of the foot is amputated. It's possible there was some sort of injury that led to that, and that she's not diabetic. But I'm looking at the edema. She has massive edema in her leg, and she's got some chronic stasis changes. You see there by her backside of her foot, that right there. Yep.
Yeah.
Those are chronic stasis changes. And actually, that's actually like something's been pushing up against the foot there, not healing for quite some time. And she has neuropathy. That's why that stuff develops. So, and you get neuropathy and bone infection. That's almost always diabetes. And then the foot swelling, the leg swelling, is obesity and or heart failure and maybe liver disease.
I'm not going to lie though. If she was skinnier and she put some lotion on her feet, I kind of like that look.
It's clean, right?
Yeah, it's clean. It's clean is what the kids call it, right?
It's a clean look. It's a clean look.
No, and imagine like a hot girl having that. I think
it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be unique. Isn't that what Fred Flintstone had?
Probably,
isn't that what his
feet were?
Fred Flintstone had something like that. And it works great when you're trying to paddle a car.
Little piggies are overrated. So
what do they do for you anyway? It's some remnant of our primate past, right?
Yep.
Yeah, good for you. Our toes actually really are important for walking.
For walking
and stuff. Yeah, it's hard for people to navigate without that. But anyway, it's a good time. She didn't die. She got taken care of. Mm-hmm. All right. So, is there anything else for us? Okay.
I have perhaps a return of one of your favorites.
Oh, I love my favorites.
I'm going to have to give you girls an exorcism here.
Uh-oh.
With my camera. Can you do that there,
okay,
kids?
I think it's just my woman's tits. Okay?
Exorcism, Americans. I have to give you exorcism and get the devil out of your twinkie lips and de-twinkleize you girls, okay?
Wow. What is going on?
So Fed Smoker is trying to give an exorcism to some Twinkies he found at the gas station.
He's using the Twinkies to exorcise the girls' Twinkies. You get
it? Yeah, because he calls them girls' Twinkies. He's pretty clever.
But first of all, who is Samantha Addict? Is that what the website is?
Yeah, that's just a watermark.
She's not one of the women there. We need to.
No, I don't.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if she has any more Fed Smoker stuff that she's interacting in the wild with the famous Fed Smoker. Well, do me a favor, though. Dial it back and show me a still of Fed Smoker in this. I want to look at something. If you can dial it back a little bit. These poor girls, that one girl on the left looks mortified. There he is. Okay, hold that. So look at how he's a lot younger there, right? Or he's a lot less further down the meth pipeline, let's put it that way.
Right, he looks more composed.
He looks better now than he does now.
Sure. Right, he's got. Let's show a little more movement of him. He's got to see smoke a cigarette. See, look at him. He looks like a different dude compared to the guy we see. There it is. That's a good picture of him. Not that long later, he's on meth now too. Clearly, he's already talking like this through his teeth and stuff, but he doesn't have all that consequence of the meth. And this is something I've been saying forever about Los Angeles, which is we have all this meth on the streets, and people don't die from meth for a long time. And when they do, it all happens very quickly at the end. And we're going to have a shit ton of people who are homeless on the streets that are on meth. They're going to die all of a sudden. Within the next couple of years, the death rate is going to go skyrocketing. And the causes of meth death is just so it's due to cardiovascular, but you just ruin everything. All your organs just, ugh. It's toxic to everything. Meth is such an awful drug.
That's why I only do fentanyl. I think that's your
drug? It's pretty clean. Again,
it's
clean.
It's clean.
Clean again. Well, Brian, I'm so glad you are our first to repeat.
Definitely, man.
It was really fun. It's so great to see you. I hope to see you more here in Austin.
Absolutely, anytime.
Well, speaking of anytime, I really would like to come.
Okay.
Do I have to talk to Tony when he gets here?
Tony probably would be the number one, but okay. Either of us, I'll talk to Tony or whatever. We'll figure it out, but definitely, I would love that.
All right, because I really enjoy, like I said, being with the Skanks was an incredible experience, with the Garbage Guys was experience. Yeah. I'm enjoying this comedy podcast world. Yes. It's like some interesting world has opened up to me, and I feel extremely uncomfortable when I'm at these places, but I somehow enjoy it. So I'm going to continue following down. It's very much like the experience I have here. It's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Why am I doing this? But there's something about it that's kind of interesting.
That's awesome.
So, Brian, anything else coming up? Want to talk about anything?
No. If I do virtual reality about 5 times a week. It's what I think is the next thing to be after podcasts and stuff. I think. And I think it's going to catch on in the future. So
is it like a podcast?
It's a podcast in virtual reality. So like me and you could be talking the whole time, but we could be like, hey, you know, let's fly around McDonald's or, you know, and like.
And do you talk about new technologies and things?
I do at the beginning of the show, but it's more of just being able to, I think. You need to try it out sometime because it's
I've never
amazing.
Done virtual reality.
Really?
I did it. I went to an experimental lab once 8 years ago and wore it just because I forget what I was doing. But I've not seen today's world.
Well, and it's interesting because there are all these new studies are coming out how it's helping people with phobias and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, I've seen that. And, yeah. I've makes perfect sense to me because exposure therapy, which is what that is, has way more utility than we ever knew.
Right.
And like, God knows what else you could start exposing people to eventually when it really comes to life. Yeah. So is it there yet where you really feel like you're doing these things?
Oh, it's pretty good. And I think the biggest thing that's the jump that's going to happen is Apple's supposed to release their version of AR/VR in the next year or so. And I think once that kicks on, I think it's just going to blow up kind of.
Because their equipment's going to be so good? Or because
they're going to do it right. And it's going to be more mainstream, I think. And, you know, so I've been just doing this show called Virtual Red Band, and it's pretty much, you know, it starts off kind of like a podcast part. But then
do you have to be on VR?
No. It's on YouTube. Yeah. And then it just, you know, it's me messing around in VR. And it's, I think in the future, it's going to be a lot more common in this space.
What happens to society when porn goes full VR?
I mean, it is already in VR. It's pretty ridiculous. It's
society will come to a halt, right?
Yeah.
It'll be like COVID, except voluntary. Yeah, and there'll be no way to reverse it.
Right, exactly.
It really actually concerns me. Young males particularly. Well, maybe that'll keep us caged for a while, so we'll do less damage as young men.
Or get our pancreases out so you don't know, you know. You could be on the train with our VR helmet and coming and no one knows.
No. Such a scary world. All right, Brian Redband, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.